to Season 2, Episode 1 of the Weekly Nightly Podcast as part of the Hockey Podcast Network. And as usual, I'm AJ.
I'm Carlo.
Hey, Dave. Guys, this is Eric.
Jinx.
Buddy, hold on.
David.
Hold on. So, why did AJ change the fucking...
I wanted to see if everybody was paying attention.
I clearly wasn't. All right, whatever. Keep going.
So anyways, that was Dave and Eric, and that was my fault. I actually didn't realize I switched around the order there.
I thought about it too, but then I'm like, okay, well, maybe. But I still thought I got it in right before he said it.
You did.
I always go second. I don't care how you order it on the notes.
That's also kind of why I said it quickly, because I thought maybe that might have happened. But
I think there was a blank bullet point because we had a guest at one point, because I got this from the old template. But anyways, how was everybody's Christmas and holidays? It's been a while, so Thanksgiving and Christmas. I don't remember the last time we recorded.
Yeah, yes. Eric and I were trying to figure that out. I was like, was the last time we recorded right before Election Day?
Yeah, I think it was, because I remember we told everybody go vote and stuff.
I think everybody did.
Yeah, it's been a while, guys. Man, it's awesome.
We didn't have anything to talk about. I mean, realistically, when it comes to the Golden Knights, the last bit of news, major news, was still
Pietrangelo
signing. So, I mean, it's that's months ago, so we had nothing to talk about.
No. I think we did talk about the jersey. Wait, no, because
we talked about as Pietrangelo.
No, that was the same time as Pietrangelo.
Yeah, it was. It was forever ago.
Okay, yeah. So never mind. Yeah.
So that was everybody's holidays then.
Not too bad. Just keeping busy with my pups.
Yeah, and they've got two Shelties while we were on this hiatus.
Yeah, it's cute little doggos.
November 16th was the last time we recorded, just so everybody knows. So it was before.
Well, that was it.
We haven't even talked about the reverse retro jerseys, I don't think.
No, we did.
We did?
Yeah, we did. I remember that, but...
Oh.
We remember because we didn't have it completely completely revealed at that time, but we did have the
Sinbin
link.
That was right before the reveal. It was like the day before the reveal we recorded. Maybe we released the episode on the day of. That's right. So,
all right, that's a long way to go. How was everybody's Thanksgiving and Christmas? Well, my parents came down for Thanksgiving. We had a nice little time. Christmas was very quiet. We didn't have anything. Just did a prime rib for the first time. It turned out fantastic. And I did a vanilla bean cheesecake.
Ooh,
it was if somebody put the piece in front of me and said, hey, this was from Cheesecake Factory, I would have believed them. I was very proud of myself. It was absolutely fantastic.
That's awesome.
Nice. Everybody else is baking.
My sugar go up just hearing that.
Yeah. Mine was pretty good. My sister came down from New York to visit during Thanksgiving, so she didn't come for Christmas, but it was pretty fun. My niece and nephew came in for Christmas, pretty happy with their gifts. I ordered a lot of my computer parts for Christmas, so I'm pretty excited for that. Still waiting for a CPU and a GPU, though, because they're not available, but...
No idea what you're talking about. So cool.
Welcome to the IT tech podcast. Dave, I know got fed well the past couple holidays.
Oh shit, that's for sure. Thanks to you and Summer, and actually one of my coworkers.
I'm still full. I've been eating those leftovers too for like the past 3 or 4 days now. And
what you guys brought me lasted a day and a half.
I ate that same amount in one sitting and then slept for 12 hours because I overgorged there. So anyways, mine was very filling, quiet like everybody else's, but we're trying to, keep everybody safe and all that good stuff. So, I mean, I haven't left the house more than to go for a run here and there in the past month.
The only time I've left is, take the pups to the vet. And then today when Eric and I went to see, and it was empty in there.
Yeah, there was nobody there, which was nice. So he felt comfortable enough to go in. I can't believe New Year's is right around the corner. I can't believe 2020 is finally fucking over.
Like, fuck this year.
Get this year done with. Like, what else over the next 4 days can fucking go wrong? And then fuck it, 2021, let's go. It's got to be better. It can't be worse.
Looking forward for 2021 because January, you already got hockey back and you get a new president. So, I mean... That's looking good.
Double whammy right there.
Yeah.
January 13th. So, guys, when we record next week, camps will be already be open for the seven teams that missed the playoffs. Luckily for Vegas, three of those seven teams are going to be in their division this this goofy season.
California.
All of California missed the playoffs. Yeah. So three of those seven teams are in the division. So that bodes well for Vegas. So they start, I believe, next Sunday for their camp. Or no, they start, what, Thursday? Wednesday or Thursday. They start, like, right before the end of the year. Technically, that's why it's the 2020-2021 season. And then Golden Knights and the rest of the 24 teams start next Sunday. So there is no preseason this year. It is straight into the real deal. 56-game schedule. Only your division. For anybody that doesn't have that information already, definitely a unique season going to be. The division is so we got California teams. So you got Anaheim, LA, San Jose. Then you got Arizona,
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Colorado and Minnesota.
There you go. Colorado and Minnesota. So you got a couple teams, three teams from the Central that are moving over. And then the Pacific, you obviously lost Vancouver, Edmonton, and Calgary due to the border still being closed. So they are playing in the Canadian division. So definitely a unique season on the horizon. I am just happy that it's finally here.
Speaking of – go ahead.
I was going to say, why – does anybody know why they I've been really busy with work the past couple of months, but I saw that at one point the Stars were supposed to be in the division with Vegas and LA and everybody else. And then they swapped them with, I think, the Wild. But, like, geographically, why the heck are the Blues in this division and not the Stars?
I was wondering that, too, because the league in St. Louis must have had to agree to something, because St. Louis is much further east than Dallas is.
I think it's, though, if you look at the divisions, the way they're set up, a lot of that, quote-unquote, central division is located in the south area, like Nashville, the both Florida teams.
Dallas
is closer to them than St. Louis is. I think something like that.
St. Louis is over here on the map versus Dallas is all the way over here.
Dallas is there, but if you look at the south, I don't know. Like either.
Yeah, but you got to
either. It was either Minnesota, St. Louis, or Dallas was going to get screwed either way. Like, one of them had to move. Well, wait, no, I was thinking different. Like, no, or Nashville. Well, one of those guys, two of those four had to be on the West Division anyways.
Well, look at Minnesota. Like, look at where Minneapolis is. That's even farther east than Dallas as well.
Yeah.
So it's just really weird how they decided, okay, well, we're going to go with more Eastern teams, especially Minneapolis, which isn't that far from Chicago. Neither is St. Louis. It's just really interesting why they did that. I'm not sure.
There's no official or anything like that, but there were reports that St. Louis was happy to be in the West, whether it had to do with the games that they thought they could sell better or whatever it was. They were happy to do that. So then it became one of Minnesota or Dallas as well.
They just wanted to avoid Tampa Bay.
Yeah, who knows what it was. But, I mean, look, eight games, Petro versus the old team, that's going to be pretty fun. Like, yep. Petro versus Krug, you know those head-to-head matchups are everybody's just going to be watching those. So,
Speaking of which, though, St. Louis is the third team we play. And you did mention there's no preseason games. But I say this now, but luckily our first six games are a little bit easier on the, because we play Anaheim, then four straight Arizona games. So that could be our preseason games.
Yeah, six preseason games.
Yeah, right before we play St. Louis.
You know, and I don't know where this is coming from, but I've seen predictions out there that says Anaheim's going to be improved. I'm like, where?
It was dumb.
Unless Gibson just goes out on fire, I don't
see it. They paid all that money to what goalie was it?
Miller?
Shattenkirk. No. Wasn't it Shattenkirk from Tampa Bay? Used to be Rangers. They paid all sorts of money to him as a free agent.
All I know is that I think the Kings will improve. That's the team I think I see and improve because of the young talent they're going to bring up. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they'll be better than last year.
Well, they have Newhook, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's
been and you got to remember, the Kings actually won like seven straight right before the stoppage. So I think they'll be fine. I think the Sharks are still going to be bad.
I think they're going to be worse, and that's yeah. saying something. I actually think they're taking a step back again. Maybe not fully because of injuries, but I just don't see that team being very good.
They got a goalie.
And you're right. It was Shattenkirk. I just looked it up.
And then they have maybe even a fully healthy for the first time since joining their team, EK65. But
yeah, that's actually going to help them, actually, because with all that time off, I'm pretty sure he's going to be like at least close to like 100%.
Yeah,
we could be dangerous.
Because was he injured at the end of the year? So has he not played? He hasn't skated. Not skated. I'm sure he skated, but he hadn't played an actual meaningful game in over a year then.
Yeah.
Yeah, Pirro had broken his leg or something back at the end of the last season too.
Yeah. But he's always been goofy ever since that ankle reconstruction. It just ankle issues then caused groin issues, and then that's one of those. God, I'm so glad that contract is not a Vegas Golden Knight because
we got Mark
very well could have been.
They'll definitely be raring to go because they're gonna have the feeling that they shouldn't have had the season that they did.
Yeah, Couture is gonna be back. Meyer, I don't know. I still don't like. We play them at the beginning of February, so
we did. They did lose Thornton though, so.
Is Patty Marleau coming back to them again?
Yeah, he's back.
Yeah, he's back. He's with them.
He's going to break the record on, I think it's like February, like middle of February against the Golden Knights, if he plays every game going up to it.
What, I'm most sure games played?
Most games played.
By any player?
Yeah. He's breaking it's games played. He's been, I mean, I think
It's straight.
It's not straight. It's either minutes or games. I'm pretty sure it's games.
No, it's games because you got to think about, like, Gordie Howe, the seasons back then were like 52 games a season, 54 games a season.
Yeah.
They weren't 82 games because of travel. So, and he's not had an injury riddled career. He's played a lot.
He's an Iron Man. Yeah. I think only a few games he missed just recently is because he got benched, not because he got hurt, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I believe so too.
And I don't think they'll bench him this year. I think I don't know. Somebody else has to make the playoffs out of that division. I mean, if you look at the West division, I mean, I know we were going to talk about it throughout this podcast, but okay. So sure. Colorado, everybody thinks they're going to be fantastic. Vegas, everybody thinks they're going to be fantastic. St. Louis, I don't know about fantastic, but they're going to be up there. Right. So they'll definitely.
Then those are the three teams. I think those are the top three teams.
Out of the other five teams, somebody else has to make the playoffs. Out of the Kings, the Sharks, Anaheim.
I think the Kings
are
bad.
Are they doing they're doing a how many team playoffs? Normally,
it's 16,
four per division. It's four per division.
Okay.
And then, so here's what's really, really unique about this is, so you're going to play a team eight times in the
regular season.
United States, yeah. So eight times during the regular season. Then for the first round of the playoffs, if you make the playoffs, you're going to play that one of those teams that you already played eight times, a best of seven. And then if you make it to the second round, you're still playing another one of those teams, a best of seven. So the divisions are playing down to one division champion or winner or whatever you want to call it. And then that's your semifinals. And they're going to base that not on travel or geographic or anything. It's going to be based on record. So the best regular season record is going to play the worst regular season record. So theoretically that could be, it's a Vegas. Of course we think we're going to be good. It could be Vegas versus Toronto in the semifinals. You could have all that travel in the semifinals and then still have the same amount of Vegas versus Tampa, right? In the cup finals too. So there is no conference championship this year because there's no conferences. It's just four divisions that play down.
I am so looking forward to it too, because it reminds me of 1980s hockey where, you know, you had 16 teams, but make the playoffs to only 21 teams. So you played everybody like eight times a year. And then the playoffs were only within the division until they got to the final four, where the Norse division would play the Patrick division or whoever else in the Campbell conference. So it was automatically in the final four, division versus division champion, the playoffs. So you played those teams like 15 times a year, and the hate was just.
Yeah, that's one thing that's going to come out of this year is new rivalries, I bet. Like, I feel like Vegas is going to have a rivalry with Colorado and St. Louis or something like that, because those are the two teams that we're going to compete against this division, like the highest, I think.
Yep.
And the hatred for those teams, even after the division is going to get separated, they're still going to be the same conference. They're going to play each other three times a year. It's still going to linger on, I think.
Yeah, and I mean, it's going to make for great hockey.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and then look at look at what's going to happen with the Canadian division there, where it's all the teams.
9 or 10 teams, yeah.
Battle of Alberta, like 8 battles of Alberta next season.
No, that's going to be 10. Battle of Alberta, it's 10 because they only have 7 teams up there. So remember, they have to play more. Yep. It's 10. You play 2 of the teams 10 times, and you play the other
teams
4 teams 9 times. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just how the math works out. And so they everybody chose to
have 8 or 10 of them.
And you know how everybody says that, like, oh, Canada's the, like, when everybody, every other Canadian team gets eliminated and then one Canadian team left, like, oh, it's Canada's team. Everybody's going to see that's not the case because every Canadian team kind of hate each other.
But here's the thing. When it does, Canada is guaranteed a team in the semifinals.
Semifinals, yeah.
Which they haven't had in forever. So
last time they had it was Ottawa. Ottawa.
2016? I guess it was, yeah. It was. I forgot about that one magical year with Carlson and Stone and Hoffman and
Winnipeg.
Winnipeg against Vegas too. Vegas. Yeah, that's right. How did I forget that?
Because they were supposed to be so good. Remember Laine? That was his rookie year. Like everybody was like, "Oh, this team's on the rise." Oh, well, they suck. They got Cody Eakin. Actually, where's Cody Eakin now? He's in Buffalo.
Yeah, he's in Buffalo. Oh, shit. Playing with Taylor Hall. Taylor Hall.
Oh man.
If they put Taylor Hall on that guy's wing, oh my god, Taylor Hall.
No, Taylor Hall's gonna be with Eichel, man. That's why he went there. He wants to play with Eichel.
Of course. No, but it is going to be a really fun season. Here's another wrinkle in the season that I just don't know how to figure out is you have no idea how any of these divisions are going to be because there's no you're not going to play in the interdivision or any conference. It's just you're only playing that one. So the best team in the Central could play a completely different brand of style than the best team in the East or the best team in Canada. And you're not going to figure that out until the semifinals. So like – you can watch Tampa Bay and let's say they run away with it and go, okay, well, hey, they're the best team in the league. You have no idea because look at Colorado having to play Vegas or Vegas having to play St. Louis, whereas Tampa Bay doesn't have to play anybody. Yeah, Tampa Bay is playing nobody. Tampa Bay has Dallas, Nashville, Carolina. I mean, they have
Columbus.
Yeah, they don't have a good – that division's bad.
Hold on. I don't think – I know the East Division is probably the toughest one with Boston.
I think the East is the best by far.
Yeah.
Boston, the two New Pittsburgh, York teams,
Pittsburgh, Washington. Philadelphia, Washington. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. New York teams in there.
If I was ranking them, I think with the East would be the strongest. The West would be the second. The Central Canada. Is bad. No, I think Central is better than Canada.
No, because Canada, you have Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, Toronto, and then Montreal's up and coming. Ottawa's really the only one that's really bad. You have
Vancouver is the only one that's really good though. Either
no, I think Toronto's good, and I think you still have Connor McDavid and Draisaitl in there. You can't really say they're bad.
No, I mean, they're not going to make it through a round of the playoffs.
I mean, we'll see because you got to remember, dude, those guys are still young. McDavid is like 23. Yeah, he's going to take his experience from last playoffs.
He's going to be the best player in the league for the next 10 years, and people are still going to think he's young at 33.
Yeah. Because, like, I understand that, like, oh, the choking mantra they have, but these guys are young. That was McDavid's second playoff appearance, you know.
Choking teams eventually make it through and win.
And
it
his
all.
Yeah. And his first actual playoff taste was his rookie year when they went to the second round. They won a round that year, so. Yeah. Choking, I don't think they're chokers in my opinion. I mean, I don't know. I don't live in Edmonton. I just don't think they're that good of a team.
Yeah, I
mean,
I don't think they're bad though. If you compare the Canadian teams on the Central teams, I think there are more above average teams in the Canadian division than in the Central. Although in Central you do have the best team in the league in Tampa Bay, but you also have two
of the worst teams this year in that division.
Yeah. Yeah, you have Detroit and you have Chicago in there too, but like I said, in the Canada team you have Toronto, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton, which I think are above average. Oh, and Montreal beat Pittsburgh. Montreal too. It's pretty good.
You talked me into it. Okay, Canada's number 3. Okay. You talked me into it.
So it's literally then the final one is Tampa Bay, and then
everybody else.
The worst that isn't a California team.
Yeah. You got Dallas, Nashville, Florida, Columbus, Carolina, and then Detroit and Chicago, which are both not going to make the playoffs.
Carolina is not going to do shit until they get a better goaltending situation.
Okay,
they have the best defensive core, though. I think Carolina has the best defense in the league.
Okay, so Dave and I were talking about this last night. I know that Ryan the Hockey Guy called his shot really early on Pietrangelo. I'm going to go ahead and call my shot on who Vegas is going to go after, either at the deadline this year or next year. They are going to get Dougie Hamilton.
Oh, do they have even a roof on the defense, though?
Of course. So here's the thing. You're going to lose Martinez. Martinez is not going to sign here long term. You're going to free up the $7 million from Fleury at some point. So there's $11 million. Dougie Hamilton's going to come in under seven. He's 27. He'll be 28 years old next year. He fits exactly what Vegas wants to do. He is the prototypical, like they say, Pietrangelo is. I get that. Dougie Hamilton is cut from the same cloth. Big guy. He's 6'6". Monster on the blue line. Monster on the power play. Can play PK minutes. Like, he is the absolute, exactly what Vegas is going to go after. So, AJ, what you were talking about, Carolina needs to figure out how to go get a goalie. Fleury, throw a couple firsts in there. Get Hamilton at the deadline. Hey, it works.
Yeah. I mean, that could work.
I don't think they're going to go after another defenseman, though, because they already have two number ones. I think they're going to go after a center, like I said before, or a forward.
I know. The Chicago thing, Chicago being really bad, could actually.
Carl, you might have called that one.
We'll see.
I don't remember this.
We'll see. Taves.
Not Kane. Kane's not a center. Kane does nothing that this team wants. That's the thing. Kane is allergic to defense. He's worse than McDavid. McDavid is terrible at defense.
Granted, that's only if Cody Glass doesn't work out. If they think Cody Glass still hasn't taken that step, I think they're going to go after a center.
Well, do you guys want to talk about what we've seen so far with some of these younger players in the past couple of days?
In Team Canada?
World Juniors?
And Team USA there.
Yeah.
There we go.
Because well, let's start with USA because they already played two games, and the first game they got shut out, so they didn't really see any flashes from Brisson on that one.
Oh, you're saying Brisson got shut out, not the USA, the team.
Yeah, it's just Brisson. Okay. No, the whole team actually got shut out though, but I only care about Brisson. But I thought Brisson was really good though on that second game. He had his opportunities. He should have had three, but he whiffed on an open net goal.
That shot is so crazy.
His one timer from the circles is going to be definitely, that will be what gets him into the league.
Yeah. He has like a freaking absolute cannon of a shot. Like watching that guy shoot is insane.
I saw, was it you, Andrew? I saw a reverse OV because he's on the other dot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, I think Jack Manning posted something on Twitter, and then that guy MJJ was talking about how it looked like Ovi, and I'm like, yeah, except he's on the right dot.
Yeah,
he's on the other dot. In the right circle, and oh crap, man, that shot is just crazy.
It's the cannon. Look.
It's like Colin Miller if he could hit anything.
Is he going to play wing again? No, yeah. Is he going to play wing again, though? Because he is playing wing in Team USA.
That's the thing that sucks is both are first round picks that can play center. When they go to a very good team, they're on the wing. So I have to imagine that's how they're gonna break into the league is on the wing. If they're not good enough to be a Team USA or Team Canada center, they're not gonna be it.
And I'm okay with that because I think we're already set in our top two wings in Carlson and Glass.
Top two centers, you mean?
Top two centers. That's what I mean. Yeah. Top two centers in Carlson and Glass. If Glass really lives up to his potential, you know, and if not, you can always move Brisson or Krebs in there. You know,
I could see Glass playing well with Krebs. I don't know about you guys, but I see some stuff out of Krebs that I feel like with Glass's hockey sense, Krebs could do some really good finishing stuff.
I agree. I think it's Brisson that's the pure fit out of the three. Brisson is the pure finisher, and I think Krebs is the most well-rounded out of two who can shoot and pass. Glass is a pure passer.
And Brisson,
that vision Glass has, and Brisson getting open and in the circle for that cannon, that's going to be a nice combination.
Oh, yeah. If you can get that young rookie line with maybe even the three of them, like, oh, man, with Brisson like shooting like that, like you said.
You won't get Brisson for 2 years.
Yeah.
Brisson,
it'll be a bit for Brisson, but even like if you put, let's say, Krebs, Glass, and Tuck together.
Yeah.
I think that's a good, really good combo.
Well, Krebs is a left winger when he's not playing center, right?
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
Yeah, he plays left, and then Tuck is right. And I think Brisson plays right if he's playing wing. I'm not sure. I think he's playing right.
He wants to be on the offside. He wants to be on the offside for his for the one timer. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I think it works out. I think we have a really good future. These kids look good. Too bad I haven't really seen a lot of about on Korzak because he's the seventh defenseman.
So today he's getting moved up because Schneider got suspended.
Yep. Yeah.
I think they play that. 3 o'clock, so he's getting moved up to the second pair. But here's what's really disappointing about it. Team Canada scored 16 goals. I think like 20, whatever. One or two players did not record a point, and Korzak was one of them.
Yeah, because he was only there for like a few, like after Schneider got kicked out. So, and I think he was playing third pair. He didn't get a lot of minutes. He was only dressed to be the seventh defenseman, which you can do in international games.
That was a really tough hit by Schneider, by the way. He should have got suspended more than one game.
So
by the way, can we just say that teams so far from observation, teams from the Rhineland are not doing too well.
Austria and Germany.
Oh my god, like what was it, 16-2 and then 11-0 for Austria?
Yeah, that's
not too surprising though.
No, I mean neither, but I posted on Twitter last night. I just said Germany. At least we have Dreisaitl, because like, they always brag about him. Because like all of a sudden they have like a superhuman hockey player.
I mean, you gotta look at it on, because I don't think Germany should have been that bad, but they skated 14 skaters.
Yeah,
and they just played a back to back. And they barely practiced because of COVID, because they had to isolate. They couldn't practice because they were the spread.
Yeah.
So.
And in a normal World Junior year, Austria would probably be up for regulation for being moved down too if they would have lost all this too. But they're not doing that this year because of COVID reasons.
I'm giving excuses for Germany, but I'm not gonna give excuses to Austria because the Austria
is bad.
Yeah, but
and then there was a bad hit in that game too.
Yeah, but Germany's one of those countries that's an up and up, man. They're getting some really good talent in there, and I can see them to be like a Switzerland, you know, who is not part of the Big Four, but they can compete, you know.
Their goalie was Germany's the worst goalie I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, their goalie was that's not their starting goalie though. Their starting goalie has COVID.
Well,
that's why he didn't start.
Their backup goalie is the worst goalie I've ever seen in an international play.
It was so bad. He couldn't save for anything.
Oh, Spencer Knight, though, in the Russia game, like, what was he doing so far out of the goal so many times?
I'm confident if the Germany goalie just literally butterflied and didn't do anything other than just butterflied and didn't move, he would have saved more of those shots.
But speaking of Spencer Knight, though, I feel like Spencer Knight was taking pointers from his fellow Florida Panthers goalie in Bobrovsky, and it's kind of like stunted his development.
I don't know. He looked more like he was trying to like emulate like 80s Marty Brodeur. Like he was so far out of the net. Like I was like, why is he over by the serve? And then he pushes it up the boards, and I'm just watching him like, oh shit, I just gave it to Russia.
Oh, it's
funny. He overthought. He was definitely overthinking in that game.
He was in his own head. I'm pretty sure out of anything, I think that was the issue. But the games have been exciting. It's been nice to watch hockey again. And these juniors, like, man, they got some bite to them. It's like watching the NHL for sure.
Yeah, it's fun, especially especially watching our prospects. I'm really having fun watching Krebs and Brisson because they're really good. Krebs had a lot of opportunities. He should have gotten more points, but it just wouldn't go in.
Question talking about they gave him an extra goal that didn't count.
Yeah, that
they just gave him a goal.
Did you hear the explanation for that though?
I was just going to mention the explanation.
Yeah, the IIHF clock was not synced with the TSN clock, so they gave it to him because on their clock it was good. So
that's so weird.
But you know what? I'll take it. Like even if it wasn't like on the on the score sheet, like his move to get the goal in was pretty good. And that's what I'm really looking for on these. It's just how the players play, how the
And that move is the exact finisher kind of move that would have helped so much against the Stars and Vancouver and like all of these different like
the rebound plays. Moves,
the Capitals in the 2017 or 2018 final.
Yeah. Like we've had trouble cleaning up those like
greasy goals.
Yeah. And he just rolled in there. He's like, I got this, guys. Like,
and he's not even known to get those kinds of goals. He's a finesse player, not a gritty player.
Well, it was a poke check between the legs as the guy dropped the puck on accident. Like it was a good play. But yeah, I think you know what's interesting is generally in the World Championship isn't everybody playing on bigger ice? Like now they're in Edmonton, isn't that NHL regulation ice?
Yeah,
I think the juniors stay the smaller. I think.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Because I wasn't sure about like when they play overseas and stuff. Like, is Germany used to playing on IHF regulation, the larger ice sheet? And does that? And obviously, we've seen it when people come over from Russia. That changes their skill level in certain ways. So I'm just curious if that's the same case here.
I believe the bigger ice is only meant for their top leagues. I believe. I could be wrong, but.
And a lot of the top leagues are actually still going on NHL ice, even KHL, like half the teams or more play on NHL ice. They're all kind of going away from that international size ice anymore.
Because it's a difference of like in both length and width, isn't it?
No, it's just width, I believe.
No, yeah, it's just how wide it is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just how wide it is because it's it kind of cramps up the space. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I think it slows down the games in different ways, too.
Wide as in from the distance between the benches and the penalty boxes, not how wide it is from goal to goal.
I think it speeds it up because you have less space to work with, so you have to move the puck fast.
No, I meant the bigger ice.
Oh, yeah. It slows it down because you have more space to, like, just hold the puck and stuff.
And there's no trapezoid in IHF ice behind the goal, right?
Nope, that's only in the NHL.
That's why Spencer Knight loves going crazy and making assists to the wrong team.
That was the Marty Brodeur rule is how the trapezoid started, right?
Yep.
Because how good he is of the puck.
Because he played in the corners, yeah.
Brodeur was excellent with the puck.
Yeah, it was like having a third defenseman at all times.
Yeah, pretty much. That's why,
he'd pick the corners, like win puck battles. Like, I've seen some of his plays and man, like they made rules to make it so that there couldn't just be a team of Marty Brodeur someday.
Yeah, they should do away with the trapezoid and they should do away with offsides. Just fix those two things and let's go.
I mean, the offsides review, right?
No, I mean, just there's no more offsides. If you want somebody to camp out down there, they camp out down there. Don't care.
I don't know about that.
Don't care. Just let them.
I don't know about that.
Oh, that would change the whole game so much.
No,
he's all up cherry picking.
Yeah, so he's just gonna cherry pick the whole freaking game. I don't like that.
Okay, you're playing on 5-on-4 then. If you do that,
I know, but like I think the offside makes it
do away with offsides.
Yeah,
and they tweaked that rule too now about having that second skate off the ice too, didn't they?
Yeah, the vertical plane now too,
the common sense rule.
Yeah, because before it was like. So now if the first foot is in the air and hasn't touched yet, it still counts as onside, right?
As long as it's on the vertical plane, yes.
That's how it should always been.
Yeah, I mean, if one of your skates is over that line, regardless of if it's touching the ice, it's not offside in my opinion.
It will lead to some, or the old rule led to some funny moments too. I remember one game back in the 90s where Darren McCarty literally had to do the splits to stay onside. And it did lead to a goal, but it was so funny. I wish I could go back and find what game it was from. But I mean, he literally did the splits to stay onside and it resulted in the goal too.
So the whole offside thing, and then we can move on from that. The thing that doesn't make sense to me is that the arena's bench doors aren't all regulation. So half of the certain places like San Jose, their bench door for the opposing team is in the offensive zone of their opponent during certain periods, which means that when they're getting on the bench, like what happened in the playoffs a couple seasons ago when Landeskog was considered offside, it's like he was not even in the play. He was getting onto the bench. So yeah, that never made sense to me.
They didn't fix that part either.
Home ice advantage. I mean, look at some baseball parks. They're all the same.
Yeah, they're all different.
Yeah, look at Fenway.
Fenway, they're all different. That's why they have the pitcher sparks and the hitter sparks and stuff. All that is in consideration. You just get used to playing it. At least, like, they made it the... Because they used to have your boards. Some boards are, like, different, and they had to make it regulation and stuff.
Yeah.
So... What do you think Vegas has to do for cap gymnastics? They're real close to that cap, like a few hundred thousand dollars over right now, aren't they?
I don't think they're much, dude.
Eric has a good idea. I know this.
Do we want to upset our fan base right away or no?
Yep.
Okay, here we go.
That's a goal for this podcast. I don't know what you're talking about.
Here's what's going to happen. Go ahead and scream and shout when it happens and jump up and down and tell all the fans that you'll never buy another ticket, even though we'll see you and cheer whenever they win. They're going to send Fleury down because Fleury does not have a report because there is no AHL season. Mm-hmm. He's going to get paid his full money. It just helps the cap, and he's not going to be a starter anyway. So when you send him down, it saves you $1.05 million. You bring up Dansk because you have to have two goalies. So that saves you $300,000. Dahlstrom's already sent down. You're going to – each day they're going to address 12 – 6 and 2. They're only dressing 20, the minimum. The fact that the NHL allowed this taxi squad of 6 players helps teams like Tampa Bay, Arizona, Toronto, Vegas, all these teams that were right up against the cap, New York Islanders. They're going to be able to play cap gymnastics all year long. So they are sending Fleury down. Fleury won't need to play. There is not a back-to-back until the 10th series. When I say series, I mean 20th game in the regular season. So if you can accrue $250,000 each game, or whatever your percentage of the $250,000 each game, by the time he would need to play, you could actually bring him in. If assuming everybody stayed healthy, there was no LTIR or anything like that. But I honestly think that's the cleanest thing to do. You're not going to send Holden down. They want to play Holden. You're not sending Glass down. You're not putting anybody in LTIR. They've already said everybody's healthy. So Fleury's the only one that makes any sense. And they clearly don't give a shit about pissing him off because, hey, what happened? They traded for another goalie, started him the entire playoffs, and the agent put a picture of a sword through Fleury's back with the Boer's name on it. So they've already tried to trade him. Basically, they're going to say, hey, buddy, here's your money. You're our emergency goalie.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, capitalized.
Anybody want to argue that fact?
No.
No, not really.
I could see it.
Anybody want to come up with another idea?
I think they have other ideas, but I'm too lazy to think about. There's so many different – with a taxi squad thing, there's so many avenues you can do. Because they're not like they're up $3 million. They're up at like what?
$150.
Yeah, $150.
$125. I think it's $124 and some change.
$125. Yeah, that's not a lot. That's really easy to maneuver around. It's not a big deal.
What's the deal with – the taxi squad, though, is it technically being put on waivers every time?
Yeah.
Okay, so there are a few rules about it. Yeah, so the player has to clear waivers in order to go to the taxi squad, and then it's the same regular season waivers. So it's, 10 games or 30 days being up? Then they would have to clear waivers again, which you'll never see. They'll shuttle them in and out.
They can practice with a team.
Yep, they practice. And then if the AHL season happens, they've already said they're going to have a constantly rotating taxi squad because they want those players to actually get games.
Is the value of a cap hit on each game is divided by 56 now? So like the whole every game that Fleury sits out would be 1/56 of his salary for the season?
No, it's you only get a certain amount of relief when it's a one-way deal. So when you send Fleury down, you don't get $7 million in saving. You only get 1.05
divided by
156. Yeah.
Okay.
Because he's on a one-way deal. You can't just bury $7 million. If it was a two-way deal, you could, but you can't, unfortunately, with that. Same thing with Holden. Holden only saves you a tiny bit of money.
Got it. So yeah, then but for each game that Fleury isn't playing that he could potentially be down, then that's a significant portion of money that by the end of the season, they probably wouldn't have a cap issue and may even have some room to make a move.
By the 20th game. Yeah. You'll be able to bring him up. If assuming Leonard played the first 20, I don't think Leonard's going to, but you just never know.
What's, I mean, What's the chance it backfires though, and somebody steals him on waivers?
Who, Fleury? That's not a backfire. No, they've already said that they would have. They were willing to trade a second round pick and him.
Oh, that's true. That's true. So for free to get. No, that would work either way.
For free, yeah.
They want him to get claimed. They absolutely want him to get claimed. And that is also, just so you know, that's what Tampa Bay just did with Detroit and not Kevin Johnson. What's his name?
Oh, I know what you're talking about. They waived him.
They waived him because he had a no trade clause. Yeah. So same thing. Fleury. What if there was a team out there that was willing to take Fleury's salary, but Fleury put him on the list? Well, now you can waive them, and if that team claims them, they get them for nothing.
Yeah. They try to do that, but nobody claimed them, and you're like, oh, dang it. Same with Fleury. If you want to jump his contract, waive him, hope someone gets him. You don't have to worry about the contract anymore.
Yeah. No, makes sense. So, yeah, I agree. I think we all agree with Eric then that's definitely probably going to happen.
And they don't care about pissing the fan base off. I mean, they just traded Schmidt, who was – one of the fan favorites.
Speaking of which,
they pissed him off from starting Leonard in the first place.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Speaking of Schmidt, though, we don't get to see Vegas play Nate Schmidt unless they make it to the conference finals.
That's true.
This season.
The final four.
Yeah. Because we don't play Vancouver at all.
Yeah.
Which I actually think, same thing with Winnipeg, you won't see Stastny. I actually think that will be – it'll lessen the blow of those players getting moved, because by the time you'll have a full season have played before you could see them play and
against you,
possibly do well or not do well. I mean,
yeah, it's
definitely going to make for an interesting trade deadline this year.
Oh yeah. Trade deadline's on April now too. So,
and there's going to be, what if you trade for somebody from Canada? They have to quarantine. I mean, there's going to be,
yeah.
You have to quarantine for 7 days, and they only have like 10 games left when the trade happens. So it's going to be goofy. Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah, I think you could actually see trades earlier because of that.
Unless the border opens by then and vaccines will be widespread by then. But we don't know. We can't tell the future.
Yeah. So I guess what's everybody's predictions for Vegas next season? I think we're all in agreement. Top three for their
top three for sure, I think. Yeah. I don't know which part of that top three, because Colorado, I think, is a very strong team. And St. Louis has a potential to be a very, very strong team. But we saw in the playoffs last year.
Yeah,
it all depends on each team's goaltending.
And that's exactly what I was just going to say, especially Colorado and St. Louis. I mean, we saw Binnington have some kind of mental collapse during those playoffs. And then Colorado has two fragile goalies. So it's like, what's going to happen here?
Maybe it wasn't a mental breakdown by maybe the year they won, it was just his fluke year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's more likely. But yeah, if you look at the top three teams, they all have question marks, right? Vegas, as much as we want to think, hey, they could win the division easily, they don't have anybody proven behind William Karlsson at center, which is the most important position on the ice. So that's tough. Okay. They have the strongest goalie tandem.
Yeah.
Colorado, fantastic defenseman, fantastic forwards, probably one of the best players in the league, definitely the best player in the division, Nathan MacKinnon. They're just absolutely just loaded. They have two goalies that cannot, like you said, AJ, fragile. Like, they can't stay healthy. You just don't know what they're going to be. If they get injured at all, after you've had a groin injury, those things tend to pop back up. So that would be scary. And I think St. Louis takes a step back. I just don't think they were as good as they were. Krug to Petrangelo is a step down. I don't care what you want, how you want to call it. And that's not just us wearing gold glasses because he came to Vegas. I think everybody in the world thinks Petrangelo is a better player than Krug.
Yeah.
Tarasenko still injured. He had surgery in like September or October. So he's out for 5 months before he can even start thinking about taking contact again. So he's not going to play for the first couple months of the season. And everybody's a year older. I think all three of them have question marks, but I think Vegas and Colorado were the class of the division for sure.
My prediction is that in the regular season, Colorado wins the division just because of their talent. But in Vegas second, St. Louis third, and then either Minnesota or potentially San Jose maybe fourth. If they, you know,
I think LA is going to be fourth.
LA will be improved, but I don't think they'll be that improved they'll make a push. I don't think they'll make it though. But in the playoffs, again, like my order will be Colorado first, Vegas second, St. Louis third, and whoever fourth. But and then the playoff winner is going to be Vegas.
I mean, it goes to the conference finals.
They go or to semifinals. Final four, yep.
Sorry, semifinals. That's what they're called now. the reason why I think LA is going to finish fourth is I look at the competition, like the rest of like you have the top three, and the rest of the five you have San Jose, Minnesota, Anaheim, Arizona, and LA. I think LA is going to improve the most out of those teams, and those teams are just mediocre at best. And
wait, who's
the goalie in Minnesota? They did have a strong finish to the regular season.
Yeah, well, and they're gonna push in some of their young talents, and I think they're gonna be good. And I think Quick is still decent, because although Kemp Arizona still has Kemper, right?
Yeah.
So I could see it's if LA doesn't get, I think Arizona will because of Kemper.
My other thought would be Anaheim if John Gibson just plays out of his mind for him, and he already plays out of his mind.
56 games with very few back to not very few, but not a huge number of back to backs and zero travel on a back to back. I Gibson could absolutely steal a bunch of games for that team.
Yeah. And
LA has a good young goalie too in Pettersson. So I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. Minnesota, like they brought in Cam Talbot. I don't really have that much faith in them at all. I couldn't remember who they
were. No, I think Minnesota's probably I could see Minnesota being the worst team in that division. I could see any of the other ones. I could make an argument for any of the other four, Anaheim, San Jose, Arizona, and the Kings to make the playoffs. I just think Minnesota's probably the worst. Sorry, Evolving Wild.
Arizona's going to be kind of bad too.
Yeah, they just traded Stepan. And he's not as good as he used to be, but still. Have cop troubles. You have drama behind the scenes.
So much drama.
Mess, man.
There are penalties on picks. Like, yeah, they're kind of screwed for like the next 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah,
they had to drop their first draft pick from last year.
Yeah,
they're just
a shit show.
Yeah.
So I don't see Arizona at all.
Yeah, I see Arizona, Minnesota, and either the Sharks or Anaheim being at the bottom. I agree with Carlo. I think the Kings are going to do okay, but like Eric was saying, I really think that the Ducks could survive based on the schedule and based on the travel, and John Gibson will carry them to the first round of the playoffs where they will absolutely fall on their face.
I think the class of the division is once again Vegas and Colorado. I think Colorado, if their goalies can stay healthy, they are. Look, and here's the thing, that Vegas has always played in the worst division. Like, make no doubt about it, the Pacific has been shit every year that Vegas has been around. And it hasn't worked for them, right? They get to a playoff series, face a little adversity, and they lose. I mean, when they played Chicago, okay, that was easy, right? Vancouver gave them a little bit of adversity that they almost lost and then couldn't get past Dallas, which they were the better team. Year one or year two, faced a little bit of adversity with San Jose. Obviously, hey, we can talk about the call as much as we want, but they didn't get very far. Yeah. I would rather them play a very difficult regular season. That way they're ready for the playoffs, right? Because they haven't been ready for the playoffs any of these times. Nobody took them seriously year one. Let's just stop there, right? The Kings didn't take them seriously. Fleury won that series for them. Yeah. San Jose just wasn't that good. And then I don't think Winnipeg took him seriously. And once again, Fleury stood on his head those last four games. I mean, he was fantastic. Fleury was the reason why they made it to the cup final. So let's see what the team can actually do facing good teams that have cup pedigree or one of the best players in the league night in and night out in St. Louis and Colorado.
Yeah. Agreed. I totally agree.
They just replaced McDavid with MacKinnon this season. So
yeah,
MacKinnon has so much more around him. McDavid has
one
Draisaitl. Draisaitl, and that's it. I mean, look, Colorado has Kadri as a second line. You got Landeskog. You got Rantanen. I mean, they're defensemen. I mean, Bo and Byron might make this team. I mean, Makar really is good. Better than anybody that Edmonton has right now. Makar as a rookie was better. So I think Colorado is just a much, much better team. And McKinnon or McDavid right now, like, you're splitting hairs of which one you want. Like, they're both fantastic. So you go with the guy that has the better team, and that's McKinnon.
Yep, agreed. Let's take a quick commercial break here, and we'll be back in a second to wrap up a few more things for this episode.
I'm Corey Crenshaw.
I'm Richie Suave Flores.
And this is Sporty with Corey and Richie Suave.
On the Hockey Podcast Network.
What did I just listen to?
This game is just bullshit now.
Oh my gosh. They actually made me feel uncomfortable. What was it? Panty what?
The game has gone to bullshit.
Panty melted?
Why do we record these during the middle of games? Oh, God. Be sure to listen to Corey and I every Monday. We are your go-to source for the Arizona Coyotes on the Hockey Podcast Network.
All right, we're back. So so moving on from our VGK-related talk, we've seen a lot of jerseys for throughout the holidays coming through on Twitter, and just wanted to put a PSA out there. Y'all stop buying jerseys on eBay, please. Like, I don't care. Like, the easiest way to not get a fake jersey is to just not buy it on eBay. That's probably
just ask us. Just send it to us, guys. At any time of night, I promise you, we'll respond. If you send it and say, "Hey, this jersey for $35, is it a good deal?"
No, it just default. All right.
Most of the time, it's not.
Yeah, it's like, do not buy a jersey on eBay for a ridiculously cheap price. If it's way below what they should be charging,
if it's less than $70, move on. It's
fine. And if it's less than, say, probably over 100, a little over 100 for an actual current rostered player, probably still fake.
Now, granted, though, there are people out there who don't really give a shit about having the real thing. They that looks like the jersey. Don't want to spend a bunch of money. I completely understand it. Now, me personally, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, but don't be upset when you get a jersey in the mail from China and it has your favorite player's name spelled wrong, like, and like all these like little issues, and it doesn't fit right, and like,
so yeah. So I saw one year one, I swear to God, I can't make this up. It was a white William Karlsson jersey. It was supposed to have the inaugural patch because it was year one. It did not have the inaugural patch. On the shoulder, it had a Pittsburgh Penguins 30th anniversary patch. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. I couldn't just stop laughing my ass off. And what do you do? I mean, it's from China. Like, you can't send it back. Like,
yeah. Well,
I don't know if you guys heard me now, but I froze there for a second. But I was saying, it's like, now granted, there are people out there who don't give a shit about having the real thing or spending a lot of money. Completely understand that, you know, but me personally, you get what you pay for.
Yeah, and what we're, our PSA is more for the people that I think don't realize that they're not getting the real thing, and they've only ever seen it online. So then once they get it, like, they don't really know that it's not the real thing unless like you saw it up close.
I just feel bad for the people that got one as a gift this year and they held it in their hands and they knew it was fake. And you can't say anything because you're an asshole if you say, "Hey, you bought me a fake jersey." You just have to smile and say, "Thank you for my jersey," and go home and donate it. You can't send it back because it was bought from a fraudulent place. You can't tell the person, so you just have to go donate it. Like, that, those are the people that I feel bad for.
And in your head, you got to be like, "Wow, whoever gave this to me is a cheap fuck."
Or just clueless.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Or just poor.
That too.
Yeah, but at that point, like, I don't know. I'm very much a believer of saving up for something that's quality versus just.
I agree, but they're expensive as hell, and people don't like spending $200 on a jersey. Completely understand that.
I completely understand it because here's the thing, call me whatever you want, jersey snob, whatever. I don't wear jerseys unless I go to the game live, right? So I got a closet full of 15 Golden Knights jerseys, been around 3 years, that I can't wear for over a year, right? Like, the last game that I was at was in March, and I'm not going to be able to go to a game again until October of 2021. That's 18 months. It's 19 months. It's fucking ridiculous. I'm going to have, and I keep buying more.
I was going to say, you'll have like 38 jerseys by then.
I bought a reverse retro. I got the gold one customized. Like, cool. I can't wear it. Maybe I'm going to have to start wearing them during games. Like, who knows? Maybe I will.
Just wear it while you're watching a game. You know,
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, during games at home. I guess I'll have to try
it. Bar watch a road game. Have your jersey.
Just go bar watching.
Go do the whole I'm a hardcore fan thing and go like grocery shopping on random days if you're busy. Like I always see there's this one guy that used to walk his dog and it wasn't even game day. It would just he'd randomly be wearing a jersey. And I'd be like, all right, that's cool. Like that's, you know, to each their own. But I'm wondering, does he know it's not game day?
I have so much Golden Knights stuff. Like I got polos. I have pullovers. I got jackets. I just don't understand wearing a jersey if you're not going to the game. But I also don't understand going to a game and not wearing a jersey. Like, so I don't know.
You know,
I can't wait till I can wear my Gusev jersey. I can't. I got to get that thing ready to go.
You know, one of the interesting things that I've found with actual authentic Vegas Golden Knights branded stuff is I have always wanted a pair of Vegas Golden Knights, like lounge pants, pajama pants, sweatpants, whatever you want to call them. But they have to have both pockets and the button fly on the front. And I have not ever been able to find one. So I found one that was like nice. They were really nice. They were this really plush like pants that had nice pockets, but they had no fly. Well, what happens after two fucking washes of these authentic Golden Knights pajama pants? A hole just randomly rips in the crotch seam. And I'm like, what the fuck? Come on.
Today's too much information with AJ.
But it's just like, come on. Like well, that's, well, there that's you go. Not what go I was find, hoping for.
Go find a button and go sew that bitch up.
Yeah, come on.
It's not the same.
Is Summer domestic at all? Is she domesticated at all? Can she sew at all?
Hey, it's not even just Summer. Andrew, can you not sew?
Am I not from Korea?
Exactly.
I wasn't going there.
Carlos allowed.
I was going to be sexist instead of racist, my bad.
I was just saying, didn't you grow up in a sweatshop, Andrew? Come on.
All right, fair enough. Anyway, our jerseys are made in Indonesia, so do we know any of them?
We're all going to hell.
It's fine. We have a very diverse podcast. We're allowed to have a little fun with it. So obviously Summer is a very knowledgeable hockey person, and we're in jest about this one. But anyways, I don't understand. So if you're looking for a legit jersey, definitely do not buy one that has the NHL crest that says LNH, like the Montreal or the French Canadian like version of the word. That's like the default one. If you're looking for a legit one, if you don't care, it's cool. Like no harsh judgment. But if you do care and you found that somebody bought you one that wasn't real, I'm sorry. Like that just sucks. So let's do. Let's close this out with the around the NHL then, and we'll come back next week and get in a little bit more into predictions for other league or other divisions this season and all that good shit. So I don't know. Does everybody want to take one, or do you want to do a rapid fire, Eric? Or
we don't have enough to do rapid fire. We could all take one.
Yeah.
I'll take the second one.
All right. I'll take the first one.
Take the fourth one because I think it's funny.
Okay, works for me.
All right, so we'll just get this started. You know, around the NHL, we'll do this in under 5 minutes, I guess. We can't even say it anymore. It doesn't have as much.
Yeah, it's because it's been already a year long.
Well, no, and then Vancouver, we beat that 5 minute major in game 7. So it's like, all right, well, the curse is lifted. It's not as funny anymore. So anyways, around the NHL, Derek Stepan, I don't know how to say his last name, was traded to Ottawa from Arizona for a second, which Justin Emerson, I will say, pointed out that like Stastny got less to Winnipeg, and he was very perplexed and upset about that.
So the big reason why is because the money actually owed. So this helps Ottawa get above the cap floor, and they actually only owe him $2 million against a $6.5 million cap hit or AAV. So they only actually have to pay him $2 million. I know it's kind of goofy how this it works, but that's why he fetched more than Stasny, because Stasny was still owed real money, $6.5 million the next 2 years, I think.
Because the way this contracts work is they actually don't make, let's say, make like $6 million each year. It's the average of what they make. Like the last few years you make less, or the first few years you make more, but it's the average of $6 million. That's what the AAV is. And
yeah, it was front loaded then.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's a backloaded contract, so Ottawa doesn't have to pay him as much.
Yeah, so if that's why a second is still way too much. Like I can't believe they gave him a second for that. But whatever. Moving on, you had, and for any fucking idiot out there that really thinks they did this on purpose, shut the fuck up. So Nikita Kucherov out for the season with hip surgery. So here's the deal. If you're going to try to fucking circumvent the cap, you are not going to go to your best fucking player, the Hart Trophy winner, and say, hey, buddy, do you mind sitting out 56 games so we can keep these fucking dipshits around and not have to trade anybody? No, you're not going to fucking do that. Of course not. He's actually injured. He's going under the knife, which, hey, surgeries are not fun. Like, they're not just doing some crazy cap gymnastics. Nikita Kucherov is hurt. They're going to miss him for the entire season. And yes, he's going to come back in the playoffs. And the day he starts in the playoffs and everybody loses their mind, you're going to hear it all again. But trust me, guys, he didn't just sit out because he thought it would be cool to help the team out. You fucking idiots.
People really think that?
Yes.
It's happened before. Like in the NBA, it's happened before. Previous NHL players before sat out the season being injured and come back just for the playoffs when they don't have to.
And the reason why is because there's no cap. Yeah.
Yeah. But this is different. Like, this is,
not halfway through the season. It's going into camp. Yeah. You're going to have to miss him the entire camp. They're not doing this on purpose, guys. Yes, it does help them, but not, trust me, they would rather have to trade Kevin Johnson or whatever the fuck that guy's name is.
Tyler Johnson.
Him too. Kevin Johnson was an NBA player. They'll trade both of them. They don't care. They'll trade all the fucking players. So they can keep Nikita Kucherov, because Nikita Kucherov, let me see this, is a top 10 player in the league. Fucking Tyler Johnson and all these other fucking bums are not.
I think it hurts them more than helps them. That's kind of dumb.
Exactly. It's going to keep a little bit more balance in that division, even though Tampa's full.
Yeah, this is a patch notes for the NHL trying to balance the game.
Yeah. All right, Carl. All right, Dave.
Some sad news around the NHL. This one, Henrik Lundqvist announced that he won't be playing this year due to his health, which really, really sucks because he's one of the good dudes in the league. He always has been, and it's really unfortunate you didn't get to see him race the Stanley Cup. And one of the best goalies in NHL history. Yeah, he had a shot in the finals a few years ago when he was with the Rangers and they played LA, but it's just sucks. It sucks for the whole league because he's just, not just because he's such a good dude, he's still just a great character for the league.
One thing that I'm really disappointed about, so first three seasons, New York played here, obviously, one time in Vegas. He never played. He never started a game in Vegas. So as a Vegas fan, if you haven't seen him play somewhere else, you never got to see Henrik Lundqvist play. And I have to assume this is it for him. Like, I think he already got bought out. I mean, he's probably not playing again after this year. So unfortunately, we'll probably never get to see Henrik Lundqvist play a game in Vegas. That sucks. Yep.
I never saw him in person either.
I was just saying he'll continue with his modeling career or whatever that is that he's doing.
he is a gorgeous human being, no homo.
No, he's got the whole, like, you know, suave, like, suit wearing, watch wearing, like, I could be an advertisement for, like, sports apparel or suits sort of look, like, yeah.
So hey, he won't be hurting for gigs, that's for sure.
I think he's going to broadcasting or something because he's the face for the camera. I'm just saying.
Oh, yeah. Yep. He'll be on like TSN or even maybe NBC one day. I'm almost certain of something like that.
Start out with a local network and then work his way up, maybe.
Yeah, MSG Network for a while or something if he wanted to go back to New York and just be like an
NBCSN had Corey Schneider on this year when he was still. He'll get right to NBCSN next to Patrick Sharp, two beautiful human beings. So there you go.
Well, and then they had anything's better than whenever they cut to Bruce Boudreau in their career, who looks like Humpty Dumpty compared to those other guys.
All right, Garlo.
All right, last one is the Staples Center celebrated Taylor Swift's new album by removing her banner on Staples Center. It's funny because a lot of Kinks fans, this is relevant because a lot of Kinks fans are complaining about that banner because of superstition. Because ever since she put up that banner for, I think it was like most shows played in Staples Center or something like that.
Most sellouts or something.
Most sellouts like that or something like that. It's ridiculous. Yeah, that's when... Yeah, that's when the Kinks started on their downfall. So a lot of Kinks fans actually blame that banner for their for the bad play for the Kinks lately. So that's why
it was just that they kept going all in to win cups. Like they got a couple cups out of it, so it was good.
No, it was totally because of the Taylor Swift banner, guys. That's why they're gonna make the playoffs this year. That's the real reason why I think they're gonna make the playoffs this year.
Because they just gotta get rid of the banner.
Yeah, because they don't have the banner anymore.
The jinx is gone.
Oh, ridiculous! So yeah, that's it for this week. Next week we'll be back with some more, divisional discussions on like how some of the other divisions we think are gonna do. And then that'll be running into the start of training camp and stuff like that. So we got lots of stuff coming up. We actually have things to look forward to with hockey now. So
hockey is back. I could not be more excited.
Yeah, same. Yes. It's exciting to hear we're finally getting more hockey after a few more months of no games really. So yeah,
damn time.
We'll be back next week. So as always, thanks everybody for listening, and we'll talk soon.
Peace.
Yeah, hockey!